Psalm 100, the entire psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That's Psalms 100. I would like to take this and preach on a message entitled Tabernacle of Praise. Tabernacle of Praise. Now, I would usually ask Pastor to pray at this time, but since he already prayed for me, I think we'll be okay. Thank God. Praise God. I was thinking this morning, what is worship? What is the definition of worship? What is the quality that makes something worshipful? How is it that we know that we've worshipped? Is it because you're animated? Is it because you're excited? Is it how high you can jump? Is it how low you can bow? I remember a man saying one time, I don't care how high you jump. I care about which way your feet are running when you hit the ground. Matters not how high you jump, but how you walk in life. Which is very true. Very true. We'll be talking about this a little bit this evening. Hebrews 13:15-16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. But the sacrifice of praise, people often like to take, the sacrifice of praise, we come into church and we're going to raise our hands and we're going to praise and we're going to worship, which is a good thing, most certainly. But it says, to God continually. If you were to offer the sacrifice of praise continually, you cannot continually be in the same position, whether that's kneeling, standing, hands raised, hands in your pocket. What it means is that you should continually have the attitude of a sacrificial praise. I praise God because he is worthy of it. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good. And to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You ever have the experience of visiting church? We had this young couple here this morning. I don't really know. There was Brian and Amanda. They were sitting right here, and they were visiting from Stockton. And I was thinking how it is uncomfortable sometimes. You go to visit a church because you want to be in the church of God, and you go and visit saints, and they start singing songs that you have never heard before in your life. Or perhaps they're singing a song that you've heard before, but you sang it with a different refrain. Or a little bit faster. Or a little bit slower. And you're always a little bit off and out of sync. And you're kind of embarrassed. And you're thinking, wow, these people are thinking, wow, they don't even know how to worship God. But, should we sit on our hands, so to speak? Have I sat through a song service because I was afraid to sing? Yes, I have. Because I was trying to be courteous to the person on my left and my right. Because I don't know the song. And I'm quite certain that I would have. But visiting a church that you're unfamiliar with, sometimes you'll learn a new song. Wow, we need to learn that song. I want to hear that song more often. Which brings us to Psalm 33, verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. See right there, brother, I'm disqualified from singing in church. I can't do it because it says to play skillfully. It's much easier to sing a song you're familiar with. Give me the old rugged cross. Just as I am. Amazing grace. I'll fly away. Some glad morning. It's easier to sing a song you are familiar with, provided they're singing it in a similar way that you're used to singing it. However, I often, people want to sing a new song all the time. Let's sing a new song twice, maybe three times. Let's sing it a few times, get repetitive, learning, and we'll learn it And then we'll be able to join in with confidence. Psalm 94:8. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. And everybody, once again, it's a joyful noise. I'm happy. It's joyful. But you know, you're also supposed to sing loud. I'm singing so happy and full of joy. Praise God. Sing aloud. Aloud. Project. Rejoicing. Joyful. Happy. And I remember, you know, one time my wife's family came to visit us up in Washington. They would have, you know, like the altar call. Everyone would turn and bow and pray. And her papa looked at me and said, if I get down like that, there ain't no way I'm getting back up. He said, if I got down on my knees to pray, I couldn't get back up off the floor. So what if you're old? What if you're infirm? What if you are not able to project? And what if you're not able to show the physical enthusiasm that people sometimes, well, you know, if you're not raising, you're not praising. Yeah, I'm a raisin. I'm all wrinkled. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. This is Isaiah 35. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame men leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. That's not dumb like we say dumb and dumber. That means can't speak. You're dumb. For in the wilderness water shall break out, and streams in the desert. What it's saying is God is able to strengthen you. God is able to give you that joy. God is able to give you the ability to express that joy. I just can't seem to get the victory. I wander around in a fog. I'm sometimes almost have the victory, and other times I kind of sort of have the victory, but I don't really ever experience the victory. I actually heard a brother preach this one time. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And you know what he preached? Jump for joy. Well, that's kind of odd, but it's true. Have you ever tried to jump and not? I don't know if you can jump without being happy. Well, I can't jump. I have a no vertical leap. I can, you know, just kind of, whatever. I kind of get wobbly doing that, some people say. But, you know what? If you're able, sometime, maybe you want to make sure nobody's looking. Try it. I can almost guarantee you that you will find yourself smiling. Why is that? I have no idea why leaping would give you joy. That's why Michael Jordan's so happy. Some of you don't get that reference. That dude could jump. Some people say, you say jump and I croak like a frog. Isn't that the way the phrase goes? Never mind. I remember Brother Ray, he said, you know, when I was young, I would jump and shout and praise the Lord. And then I got older and I learned I could just stand there and shake a little bit. Get the same effect. You know, Brother Ray, you probably heard that before. When I was younger, I enlisted in the Marine Corps. And one of the first things they teach you in basic training, you know, after they make sure that you're physically able, they give you an official physical fitness test, and they put you through the paces, so to speak, and then they take you out to this thing they call the obstacle course for familiarization. They teach you what the obstacles are and how best to overcome them. And I remember they gave us this demonstration about this thing they called the rope climb. And there was a big, huge square thing. And they had several ropes, you know, and you run up to the rope, and they taught you to grab it, both hands, and then bring your feet up as high as you could and pinch the rope with your feet. And then you push up with your feet, and then you move your hands. And then your feet. But you always have you're holding on to the rope with your hand or your feet. And so they give you this demonstration, and they have this drill instructor who's in incredible shape. He would grab one rope in one hand and one rope in the other hand and just shimmy up over the top of the ropes and then do pull-ups while he was up there and, you know, do all kinds of motivating things to get you in the motion, in the attitude of, I'm going to hit this rope and I'm going to run up to the top. And so when we got to the initial thing, I was thinking, that looks pretty intimidating. But I put into practice what they taught us to do, and I managed to get up to the top of the rope. And when we got up to the top of the rope, we were supposed to hit the crossbeam. Boom, boom, boom. We were supposed to shout our platoon's name, and our platoon's number, our drone instructor's name, and say, best of the depot, best of the corps, hoorah, right? Well, I was pretty breathless by the time I got up there. So I slapped the thing, and I shouted it out as best I could. Platoon 1022, senior drone instructor, Sergeant Duran, best of the depot, best of the corps, hoorah. And somebody goes, louder! So I went, boom, boom. And the third time that I hit it, boom, it jarred my body, and I lost my foot grip. Now they tell you, before you get on that rope, if you lose your grip, let go of the rope. They tell you that. But when you are 25 or 30 feet up in the air, letting go of the rope seems like an exceptionally bad idea. So I remember I lost my grip, and I remember thinking, oh no. And I remember, you know, I still had a hold of it with my left hand. I grabbed hold of it with my right hand, and it didn't slow me down a bit. So I hit the ground about feet shoulder width apart, and then my forehead hit the ground between my toes, and I snapped back up. And was laying there, seeing all kinds of blue stars, and I'm quite a shock, you know. And then, and as my vision starts to come back, I see all of these smoky bears. The drone instructor's over me. Where's the fire? What's going on? What are you doing? What are you gonna do? And you know, one of them reaches down, and he picks me up by the fronts of my shirt, and he shakes me. And he goes, "How many fingers am I holding up?" And I go like, "3." And he goes, "Oh, close enough. Go on back." I ran back over there, and got an adrenaline rush going, you know, and my senior drone instructor, he comes over to me and goes, "Let me see your hands." "Hands, sir?" "Hands, recruit." I turn my hands over, and he goes, "You're going to medical." And I look down at my hands, which I had not felt anything from my hands. You know, it was quite a shock hitting the ground that hard. And I could see the bone in several parts of my hand. And I could see, like, this burnt, dry flesh hanging off of my hands. It was the skin that was on my hands. It was no longer on my hand. It was quite an experience, I'll tell you that. So, after weeks of rehabilitation and being wrapped up, I became known as the mummy recruit because I had my hands all wrapped up in swaddling bandages and stuff. And that led to all kinds of awkward situations. But first day back to full duty, guess what we did? Obstacle course! So, ropes were pretty close to the end of the obstacle course, and I was glad because, you know, the greater distance you have between you and the obstacle that you're not really that keen on, the better, right? Get a full head of momentum, get up there, get up to the top of the rope, and I'm pretty nervous. And I hit the top, and I came back down nice and soft, and I hit the ground, and I came up, and there was one of those drone instructors that was screaming at me before. I said, "Hoorah!" And he goes, "Oh yeah, you sure sound motivated." Why? Because other people came to the bottom of the rope and said, "Hoorah, Marine Corps!" I came to the bottom of the rope, and at that moment I said, "Hoorah!" Because I was both quite relieved and amazed that my hands were not burned, damaged, destroyed. But was my enthusiasm when I said, "Hoorah," any less sincere Then the guys who came down the rope and shouted, "Hurrah, Marine Corps!" because it was easy for them. Just saying. This is a really great verse here. Psalm 22:29. "And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul." Amen, brother! I'm going to eat and worship. Woohoo! "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." My hand has found a chicken leg, brother, and I am going to eat with all of my strength unto the Lord. It's in the Bible. You can eat and worship. Thank you, God, for chicken. Thank you, God, for pizza. Oh, yeah. My wife made a white chocolate strawberry pie last night. Sets this at the mood for you. It's got graham cracker crust. And then this white, like, cream cheese kind of filling. And it's got strawberries sliced up on top of it. And then drizzled with white chocolate. Woo! I could throw down on some worship right there. And I did. You want that last piece? Oh, yeah, I'll take whatever's left. Matter of fact, I was sitting there with the empty pie plate, chasing around the dust, you know, smashing them all with the fork. That's some good worship right there. "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men." That's Colossians 3:23. "I am going to eat Sunday brunch and nap with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I am going to sleep the sleep of champions." Can you do that? Did your hand find it to do? Did you do it heartily? Oh, brother. You won't believe what the nap I had. Oh, it was great. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. John 4:14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Oh, that's a good timing right there. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You've got to find that. You've got to find that fount of living water. You've got to get it in your heart. That way, when there's time, a chance to sing or to praise, to dance. Yes, you can dance as unto the Lord. You know, you can go to a sporting event. I did not see it. I'm not a big boxing fan. But they had the fight of the century last night, right? I am quite sure that people in the audience were going, "Yeah! Go get him! Floyd Mayweather! Manny Pacquiao," or whatever his name was. "Go get him! Come on, guys! Woohoo!" Yeah, I'm sorry, brother. I don't speak Filipino. I don't even pronounce their names well. But, you ever been to a basketball game, a football game, a baseball game, disc golf even? Somebody does something incredible, what do people do? "All right! Yes! Did you see that?" When you come to church, "Jesus died for my Savior." Amen. He died and buried and was resurrected. Hallelujah. Do you have to be? But is it limited to the joy of the world? If you've ever been somewhere and said, "Yes, praise God, hallelujah." You know what I remember one time? As I was in church a lot, we were at a rodeo. And they announced that the Mariners won, and they were on their 116 win season. I said, "Amen!" And somebody looked at me like, "What did he just say?" He said, "Amen, the Mariners won the game." But I was just happy that the Mariners won. How come that enthusiasm doesn't come into the house of the Lord? Is worship all about enthusiasm? But if you're excited about Floyd Mayweather,
I don't know.
Winning his 58th undefeated fight?
I don't know.
And you're happy and excited about that? Where is that excitement about the things of God? You cannot drum it up. We had a phrase in the Marine Corps called faking the funk. If you didn't really want to be here and you don't really enjoy being a Marine, you better learn to fake the funk. You better make people believe that you want to be here or your life is not going to be much fun. But so much better than faking the funk is finding something that you are truly passionate about and are excited to do. Well, I can't sing and shout and raise my hands. It's just not the kind of person that I am. Find something that you can do for the Lord that you can do passionately. Maybe you're not the type of person to get up and preach until you go hoarse. Or even ride a horse. I don't know. But it's up to you to find that within yourself. To seek out something that you can do for the Lord heartily. With all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your heart. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It does not need to be vocal or animated physically. But worship has to be from the depths. Absolutely. Has to be from the depths of your heart. Peter even said it. But with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You ever hear somebody grunt? I did. Just like, huh. You ever heard somebody grunt in worship and praise? They don't say amen. They don't say hallelujah, but they go, Well. Getting all churchy on me now, brother. There is a joy that's unspeakable. You cannot possibly vocally express it. There's no dance that you can do that will express your joy. Thought you were going to dance, Nathan. When I was younger, I could dance pretty good in church. Tell you what. We'd do this dance, and we'd get dancing, the brethren and I. And you do this dancing thing. You come back to the side, and you let each other go, and you grab each other's wrist, right? And you pull each other, and like you fly through the air and land on the other side, right? Dancing and stuff. Oh, it was exciting. It was fun. One time, though, I'm about 200 pounds. You know, I was dancing with one brother, and as I came around, I grabbed this other brother's hand. He was a little bit smaller than the brother before. And when I grabbed him and danced, he didn't pull me so much as I pulled him. Whew. And I nearly threw that brother through the wall. You got to be careful when you're doing stuff like that. And when one of my brothers, he was a Bible school seminary student the same time I was, he broke his arm in church. He had to go to his employer, because as he was dancing, whoo, he pulled his arm back and he hit it right on the corner of a pew and broke his wrist. And he had to go to his boss the next day with his arm in a cast. You broke your arm, huh? Well, how'd you do that? Well, you see, I was in church and I was dancing. You were dancing in church. And you broke your arm. Well, what can you do? You got a broken arm. Nathan, I just can't imagine a church service where somebody would be so happy they'd break their bones. I've been in some church services where I was dancing and praising, and I felt so good and so full of the Spirit. I'm not exaggerating a little bit. And then my physical endurance would start to give out, and I would start feeling lightheaded, and I would just say, God, take me now. You're giving up on life? No, 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 no. Please don't get me wrong. But Lord, I don't ever want to come down from this high. Really? Well, I've never been like that. Why not? Does it have to be like that every service? No. You've got to have a mountaintop experience to keep you when you're in the valley. You really do. Pastor was speaking this morning about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People start, when you start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can almost feel people kind of cringing, getting a little uncomfortable. Why? Oh, those crazy tongue talkers. You know, people have made the baptism of the Holy Spirit a bunch of things that it's not. It's about the show. It's about this or that and the other, to be seen of men. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, aside from salvation, you should desire it and you should seek it. And I remember I've known people, they're seeking it and they earnestly are wanting it, but you know, they've been told things, the contradictory things about it, and it's hard to get, you know, through to it. But if you earnestly seek it with all of your heart, God will give it to you. Because if you give it to somebody like me, you give it to somebody like you. If he's ever given it to anybody, he will give it to you. Pastor was talking this morning about self-esteem. You know, you know what a Christian's esteem should be? The God who made heaven and earth came down from heaven to earth, took on the form of a man, and suffered and died for you. Wow, look how I am the most loved child of God. He would have come if it was just for you. He loves you that much. You are worthy to have esteem. If God loves you that much, you should love yourself. But you shouldn't be high-minded either. As if you were so great and so wonderful, why did God have to come down to earth and die for you? Luke 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. I remember there was the testimony of this fellow. He came into church. Somebody had mentioned tithe or something, right? This man, he came down. He sat in the front row. And when the time of the offering came, he reached into his pocket. He pulled out really slow a bunch of money. He spread it out like a deck of cards and then placed it into the offering. Why would he do that? So everybody could see how spiritual he was. Still talking about it. I'm sure not in the way that he would like to be spoken of. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For these of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. When you've got just a little to give to God, giving what little you have is a great offering. It is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto God. You know, sometimes I am just really, I'm blessed and moved, and wow, people are singing or worshiping in such a way that it's just, wow, they are so good at it. But they may have an abundance of skill and blessing. And they're giving just a little bit of what they have. Or they're not really worshiping at all. They're just showing off how skilled they are at singing or worship or whatever it is that they're doing. I've experienced that too. Give me somebody who will lift up their voice and lift up their heart and lift up their hands and give everything they've got. Here, Lord, I am. Take me. Use me. Speaking about the tabernacle of praise. Ephesians 2, 20 and 20, 20, pardon me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The tabernacle of praise is built not of wood and brick and mortar. It is built of your body and my body as we allow ourselves to be used of God. And it does not have to be singing and preaching and praising God. If my brother is a carpenter, I don't know if my brother is a carpenter, but if my brother is a carpenter and the Lord lays it in his heart to do carpentry as unto the Lord, and he does it as unto the Lord, praise be unto God that he has accomplished God's will in his life, because I cannot fulfill God's will in somebody else's life. You cannot fulfill the will of God by being me. You must fulfill the will of God in your life by doing what you can for the kingdom of God. That is the praise that you and I can all offer to the Lord. Revelation 21 and 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I remember, struck a chord maybe, simple things speak to me. You are a vessel. You are a temple. You are a tabernacle. You may be the habitation of God, but it only happens when you open the door and allow him in to your life. You can close the door too. And I'm getting ready to close. 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, than the fat of rams. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm coming to church and I'm going to get down on that altar and I'm going to repent of all of my sins and I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk straight. That's a good place to be. Before you get there, rather than continually having to ask for forgiveness, it's better just to be obedient. I've said a lot tonight. I'm going to sum it up in one sentence. You can really sum it up in three letters. You know, probably the most sincere praise you will ever offer the Lord is yes.
Yes, Lord. Whatever it is, I don't know. You pray about something and you feel like the Lord is pressing you to do something, the most sincere praise that you can ever offer the Lord is yes. Yes, Lord. Pastor.